Steve Davenport. I'm talking to Bruce Rumney, singer-songwriter, musician here in Urbana, Illinois, in the middle of the middle, about song lyrics, songwriting, and poetry, by which I'm not sure what we mean, and we'll find out during the conversation. So welcome, Bruce, or would you prefer to be called Bruiser? Which is...
Yeah, I guess that's my songwriting name, Bruiser.
How did that name come about?
I was thinking about that. You know, you can't give yourself a nickname. And when I was in college, I had a friend who used to try to track me down in the dorm because we used to play guitar together, and he'd always walk by my room and poke in. If I wasn't in there, he'd poke his head in and say to my roommate, "Where's Bruiser?" And then it sort of stuck, but not really. And then my good friend I met later, Kevin DeForest, who ended up playing in the Mudhens with me, when he moved to Champaign, we moved here at the same time, and he just introduced me, as a matter of course, as, "Hi, my name's Kevin. This is my buddy, the Bruiser." And so when I came here, it literally became my name, to the point where my mom even calls me that now. So,
well, let's start there at the Mudhens, since I'm not going to tell how many years ago that was, but when I was in grad school, I happened upon the Mudhens at a bar called Mabel's, now defunct, in downtown Champaign. And I remember Kevin DeForest as a singer. Were you also the singer, and did you write songs for that band?
Kevin... when we moved here, I kind of had this idea that I wanted to start this blues band. My brother Scott was here. He was a bass player. He was in industrial design. And Kevin moved here, and I basically told him, I said, "We're going to start this band. You're going to be the singer." And he said, I'm not a singer. And I said, "Yeah, you are. You got all the the persona, you got the presence, and you are going to be the singer." And he agreed, and I basically wrote a lot of the material for that band with him in mind. This is the guy. This is this kind of out there, blues, strong, macho, kind of fun thing. And so I specifically tried to write songs that kind of would fit his personality and instrumentation of the band.
Right, and the dude was tall. I remember that.
6'7".
Yeah, so he filled up the stage. First question I'm going to ask you is the question a lot of writers, and by writers I mean, I don't know what songwriters get asked, but we're here, I'm here talking to you for a radio-free AWP podcast that Arante Cherm has asked us to do, but I'm going to ask you a question that gets asked of a lot of poets and fiction writers. I'm going to ask you to talk to me about your process, by which I mean the where, when, and with what of songwriting. Do you do it by yourself? I know you're a family man with children. Do you do this late at night? Are you chemically assisted? Do you use guitar, piano? Do you pencil? Is it in your head? And then I'm going to move to the lyrics specifically, but just music in general.
I guess it's a number of things. I really remember one of the first songs I ever wrote, which I'm not proud of. It's called "Don't Drop Your Drawers in a Soybean Field." And it literally came to me, like lyrics and music, a silly country melody, when I was driving around a pickup truck in a soybean field. I was working for the highway department in Pittsfield. So I didn't have a guitar with me, and when I got home, I just literally went, "Oh, here, this is what it is." But since then, I always write on guitar. I don't play piano. I think it usually happens for me in times of when things are unusual, things are a little out of kilter. One time I was painting my mom's house, and, you know, it's 90 degrees, totally mundane job, and I got this idea for the song, "I Gotta Paint as Big as Texas," and I had this kind of lyric, and I had this sort of chord structure sound in my head, and I literally had to get down off the ladder and like find it on a guitar.
But what comes first? Does one come before the other, the lyric or the chord structure? And when you say you write on guitar, are you memorizing the song as you go along, or are you actually notating on paper?
No, I don't write music. It's all, I can write down chords, and I've often used, you know, tape recorders to help me remember things. You know, now I can use a computer when I get ideas, but I've struggled. I tried to learn how to write, and I just can't do it fast enough to keep up with the process. So it comes to me. I think Paul McCartney said one time, I was listening to him, he said, you get all of a sudden you're playing in this muse or whatever, and he says, "Oh, it's happening again." And I thought, yeah, that's a good description of it. It's like I'm sort of coaxing it out, but for me it always comes like lyrically and musically together. I don't really sit down and write a lyric and say, "Now I got to do a melody." I've tried that before and it stinks. I can't. It's got to come together.
So you've not written with someone?
No. I've come up with germs of ideas, and we've sort of added and revised, but I've never sat down and actually wrote a song with someone. I've had friends who do that as a matter of course, and people in Nashville do that a lot. But I've never done it, and I don't. It seems a little weird to me. It seems really personal, but like my songs kind of are, you know, coming from me, and I don't know that I could do that.
I won't name the friend of mine, but I tried to hint and tried to hint and tried to hint that he needed me to write some lyrics for his songs, and he wasn't warm to the idea at all. And I think it's because, you know, probably I just imagined that he wrote the music and then wrote the words later. Uh-huh. And though he was a writer of fiction, I just thought maybe, you know, my poetic chops would find their ways into songs. And he just politely blocked me at every turn. Do you
really? Well, see, that to me would be interesting, like trying to write music to someone else's lyrics. I could see that. But,
lyrics that pre-exist the music.
Yeah.
Well, magically, Bruce, here we're back a week later with a song we wrote together, or rather we wrote in two separate houses at different times, but I think it's a beautiful thing. It's called Once I Had a Sorrow, and I guess I'll talk a little bit about what happened after we left our, 45-minute podcast, which was supposed to be 25 minutes, and it was spinning out of control desperately. And
like you said, we were getting to know each other.
And thankfully, again, we stopped it somewhere in the middle. And when I went home that evening, I guess it was a Tuesday, I kept thinking about writing lyrics and sending them to you, but it's a little shy about that because we didn't exactly say we were going to do it, but it wasn't back in my head. And the very next day, I got an email from you. We were talking about having to return to work the next week and about break, and you mentioned mundane experiences in the email and disappointment about something. And I just thought, man, that's a sad email. And I thought, I'm going to write a sad song, or rather, I'm going to write a song with the word sorrow in it. That's pretty much all I knew. I went upstairs, got out my rhyming dictionary, not because I wanted to rhyme necessarily, but I wanted to off-rhyme. I knew that I was gonna use rhyme, off-rhymes, rhymes that aren't pure, like yodel to awful. Yeah. I didn't know those would be the words, but I knew I was going to off-rhyme. I knew I'd anchor a couple of solid rhymes. I knew I was going to rhyme something with sorrow. That's really all I knew. And I knew nothing about verse and chorus. In fact, when I wrote you about the song, I referred to them as, I think, stanzas and choruses. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even have the vocabulary down. And I just simply sat down and thought, okay, I'll go verse, chorus, verse, in that order. And I think when I wrote the song, I didn't think about whether you would be faithful to the words. I was just going to send you words. It just didn't occur to me. If it had been a poem that I wrote, and you change the words, then we'd have to fist fight in a parking lot. But I didn't exactly tell you that. I just sent you these lyrics. I guess I'll say more about them as maybe you say some things about what happened to you when you got the music. But I have to say that the joke I made in an email to you about the lyrics was actually true. I sat down and opened my bottle of my friends will laugh when they hear this George Dickel Old Number 8 Black Label. That I've been pushing that product for years for them, and nobody sent me
many songs,
free box. Yeah, exactly. I have short stories with references, essays with references. So I poured myself a double, you know, sour mash over ice and started to write. It was coming easily. By the time I got to about the third verse, I was starting to feel the whiskey because I was already on the second double, and I just thought, okay, this song is coming to a close. I think only in retrospect do I notice that the lyrics changed a little bit in the third verse, and it wasn't necessarily because I planned it that way. By that I mean I didn't begin the third verse with rhyming sorrow to borrow.
Right.
I didn't go to a third rhyme, but it wasn't as if I remember avoiding a third rhyme. I just think I was, you know, enjoying my whiskey. And I got there, and I ended the song, and I knew it was time to finish right then because I would have had to take it up again the next night. And I was excited, and I wanted to send it. And I did. And now I guess you'll pick up the story as I sleep off the bourbon.
All right, now's when we listen to it.
All right, let's listen.
once I had a sorrow, long as a rainbow, crooked as an elbow, deep as a wish, wide as a dish. Now I got a woman, and now I got some kids. Now I got a woman, and now I got some kids. Once I had to borrow the whiskey from a bottle. Started like a yodel, then it was awful, then it was good, then it was a misery, more than awful. And now I got a woman, and now I got some kids. Now I got a woman, some kids. Once I found the walls that made this hole, once I grabbed the sides, learned diamonds from coal, then I rose and then I fell, then I fell and then I And now I got a woman, and now I got some kids. Now I got a woman, now I got some kids. Now I got a woman, now I got some kids. Now I got a woman, now I got some kids. And when I first got it, I thought, I was afraid because I thought, oh gosh, I said, we can do this, and then what if I can't do this? Because I don't sit down and write songs under a deadline or like that. I just do when it comes out. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to see if I can catch something here. And I read it, and the first thing that struck me was it was different, very different. Certainly from what I write, you know, it would be very, the rhymes would be like more, I don't know, just obvious, and then it would be meter would all be the same, that kind of thing. And what it really intrigued me about it was it didn't have that. And then I was
because
like, wow.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, yeah, I thought you did, so that put the pressure on me. But yeah, when I first started, I just grabbed my guitar and I said, "Well, this is sad. It seems to me like maybe it's a waltz." And I kind of started playing around and starting the key of G, the guitarist's favorite key, and nothing. I was messing around for a little bit and nothing. And I was like, yikes, this is not good. Because in my past experience, if it doesn't come pretty quickly, it's not going to come. So I just kind of quit. And then, I don't know, I was messing around with my kids or something. And I found myself a little time. And I had just bought my son Samuel a baritone ukulele. And I was kind of trying to teach him to play it, hoping that he would. And so I thought, I picked that up and back to the key of G. But then playing it on that instrument somehow kind of made things happen for me. Then I thought, this is not a waltz. There's this sort of happy chorus or this hopeful chorus, and then there are these sad verses. And so I thought, well, and I think I started with the chorus, and I tried to have something that was kind of happy, sort of, but at the same time sort of kind of droning. And my wife heard me playing it, and she said, I like that part. And then I was doing the verse parts, and I said, these need some minor keys. These are something sad. And I generally like write songs with three chords, and this one I think has got six or seven, so it's way off for me.
Yeah, I was wanting to know.
But I thought, it needs that. So, and I was just trying, you know, going from like from a B minor to the D to the A minor, and I'm thinking, oh, I like the way that's moving. And then I just kind of had to wrestle with fitting in those other extra, what seemed to me like extra lines. They fit lyrically, but I'm thinking, how am I going to make them fit musically?
Yeah, I think I was liberated or wrongly let free, pardoned early, because I remembered you said something when I was notating or charting your own songs, and I was saying some of these verses are not the same number of lines as another one.
Right.
And then you say, well, it's organic. It just comes out. So that's what I thought I was doing. Uh-huh. After I sent it to you and I got the song back, I did not know what to expect. And I don't know that I necessarily thought it was a sad song. I hoped it had tension. That is, there was hope, and there was sadness, but there was also, as you say, the chorus with, you know, now I got a woman. Although one of my daughters keeps singing the song, by the way. She keeps singing, "Once I Had a Woman."
Yeah.
And I keep saying, no, no, no.
Well,
That's what the song is tending toward.
Right.
Once I had a woman,
right.
Once I had some kids,
right.
But no, it's not going to work. We quit. That's like my own kids are singing that now.
Well, that was honestly when I first saw it, I thought, I wasn't sure if you wanted me to change words around, and I had ideas right off the bat, and I was jotting them down, and then I kind of stepped back and looked at it again. I said, no, I think this is the way he wants it, or at least I'm going to go that way. I'm not going to change anything. And that was kind of fun and liberating for me, too, because there was no question about what to do with the words. The words are there. I just had to, like, fit the melody and the chords to it. So
now, when I listened to the song and I realized you had done that, you told me that in an email, I listened to it, and I wondered, you know, how the song might have been different if you had changed things. Now, sure, I would not have wanted... I probably would have welcomed any change, except I wanted that business of now things are different. Now I've got them. No, now I've got them and my life is spectacular, or now I've got them, my life is miserable. It's left blank, right?
Right.
Now I've got a wife, now I got some kids.
Right.
But the two parts that I was surprised by when the song was unfolding musically, and in both places, I sensed that as it was coming up, I thought, those might have been places that the song could have that you could have changed the words,
mm-hmm.
or, and that was the fifth line and the last line in the first verse, when you say when it goes from deep as a wish, and then it changes to wide as a dish. When I realized that was the fifth line,
right.
And I didn't know if that was a special problem. And the other was when you got in the second or third verse when it said learn diamonds from coal,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that maybe had one too many syllables.
I was going to actually add one to it, I think.
Oh, you're going to add one to it. Something.
From the coal. But
yeah, it seemed like the wrong number of syllables.
Well, that line about the dish that came in the first stanza, that's the one that kind of opened the song up for me, because I was struggling with, well, how am I going to do this? And then I stumbled on a chord and a little phrase. I thought, oh, that just kind of adds on there. And then it was easy to do it to the other one. So I just kind of referred back to that. So, yeah, I was glad I didn't change it. my first inclination was to do that. But then
the decision, I know people aren't listening to the song again right now, although I think they should listen to it over and over and over again like I have, is that with the line right in the middle of what is in the middle of the song for me, when I'm referencing the whiskey and I say, I'm going to get my own line wrong, but something like, then it was awful, and then I say, then it was good. Then it was misery more than awful.
Yeah.
Right? So at first, a confession, my wife heard me say this, and then I was wrong. I said, he changed a word. I did not write misery more than awful. And I called up the song lyrics, and there it was.
Yeah.
And I went, okay, that's good. I'm a genius. I did that. But the one that got me was the way you treated the line, then it was good. That's smack dab kind of in the middle of the song.
Yeah, yeah.
And it went from then it was awful. And even, I must say out there also that I have a 12-year-old daughter who's a student of Bruises. And when she gets, that's her favorite part of the song, I think. She thinks it's...
Oh, she heard it?
Oh, they've all heard it many times. And my 5-year-old sings the song to me.
Oh,
she sings
that's nice.
Now I got a woman, now I got some kids. It's the other daughter, one of them says, once I had. you know. But it's that line, then it was good, where I think you inflect it with a certain amount of joy, or I just love that moment in the song, because your tonality or something changes, so it sounds...
Hopeful.
It sounds hopeful.
Yeah.
Just in that line. And it seems to me to musically change, but I don't have the vocabulary.
Well, yeah, that's what I was trying to do. It seemed...
It elongated it.
Yeah, well, because it needed the pause, it seemed like. Yeah, because it was like, here's...
Right. Here's, and then that line of mine you changed, but didn't really change.
Yeah, I did.
Right, exactly.
And I had to struggle a little bit, because I kept wanting to put something in. And the last chorus, too, where you changed that around too, and I had to kind of play different chords.
Well, that's the one where the bourbon was talking to me. I think the third verse. That's whenever
it worked.
Yeah, the rose and then I fell and rose and fell, or fell and rose, it rose and fell. Yeah. The repetition there. Yeah, I was trying, and I told you also in an email that I don't think it's a mistake. I'm just super excited to be involved in this song, and I love it and play it over and over. And I haven't played it to anybody who's dared to tell me they don't love it. The only complaint is it's too short. So here we are, Bruiser. We're back. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this experience. And I do want to say once again, Garth Brooks or Jeff Bridges. Are you out there, Jeff? And as I told Bruiser during the playing of the last song, I'm thinking Taylor Swift might be fine. What do you think, Bruiser?
I don't know about Taylor Swift. But
I will change the lyric. What is it? Now I have a husband. Now I have some kids. Taylor, if you're out there, you can pick this song up if you like, and I hope you like. I want you to like at reverbnation.com. The Bruce Bruiser Rumney store. I'm going to have Bruce spell his last name.
It's RUMMENIE. But I think if you get anywhere near it, it pops up on Google.
Okay, so purchase that. Purchase it many times. I hear they have ringtones.
Yes.
Ringtones. Make us rich, folks. And if anybody bumps into Taylor Swift, please. I'm sorry, Jeff Bridges. I want to be, you know, authentic here.
Direct them to this podcast.
Direct them to this podcast. Play, you know, kidnap them. Put them in a car. Turn it on. Bruce, it's been a pleasure. Let's do it again sometime. And
I enjoyed it, too. It was really fun.
Okay. Bruiser, take us home.
And now I got a woman, and now I got some kids. Now I got a woman.